Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and really excited to be talking to the guest that we have on the program this morning. This is someone that I've been listening to, that we've all been listening to for several decades now. And if you want to go back, yes, all the way to the mid-1970s, when Dr. Demento was playing Dead Skunk on the radio, sure, you can go back to that. You can also go to the 70s and 80s, when Loudon Wainwright III was releasing these marvelous albums of material, of in the folk and the folk rock mode, personal songs, also amusing and humorous songs. You can go back to just a few years ago, when he did that terrific soundtrack for Knocked Up, and I think another high point in a career kind of full of them. And now, Loudon Wainwright returns one more time with a new album called Older Than My Old Man Now. Talk about personal songs and reaching deep for some of them. So the main thing is, I want to welcome Loudon Wainwright III to the neighborhood, and also to Denver, since he'll be playing in town tonight at the Ellie Calkins Opera House at the Denver Center. So welcome to Colorado, and welcome to the neighborhood, Loudon Wainwright.
Nice to talk to you, Dave.
Good, good. Let me ask, first of all, about, since the music business is so different from what it used to be in some ways, when you feel that you have an album ready, I mean, do you have a deadline from the record company, or do you just sort of say, okay, I've cobbled together certain album, certain songs on a theme, I'm ready to go to a studio? How does it work for you these days?
Yeah, I don't have any deadlines from record labels. I'm not signed to any particular label. My last couple of records have been put out by a small label called Second Story in New York that a friend of mine runs. So really, I get to gather the songs together when I think there's a group of 12 or 13, maybe 15 songs that fit together. In terms of tone and mood and theme, and then I figure out how to pay for it and make a record. That's how it goes now.
And is it the case, as it is with some musicians, that the career, the paying the bills, is from touring and not so much the actual physical recording or the iTunes stuff?
Yeah, that's been the case with my career from the beginning, really. I mean, despite the fact that I was on major labels in the 70s and into the 80s, and did have the aforementioned radio single Dead Skunk, I never really have made money from record sales. I've always pretty much made made my nut with the touring and the performing live.
Do you miss anything about the old days of Columbia and having that, or is it so much better in so many ways, essentially being your own boss and doing mainly what you want to do?
Well, it's always nice to do what you want to do. I mean, I was never made to really do anything I didn't want to do. Hmm. And there are some advantages to be signed, to a major label. But I'm lucky in that, I continue to make records. And you mentioned my most recent one, Older Than My Old Man Now. And get them out there and enjoy making them, and hopefully people like them. So I'm keeping going, as it were.
Now, do you remember when that kind of moment hit you? Because you did lose your dad a while ago, and your mom. You went through a very difficult period when you lost your mom. You put in Last Man on Earth when you were going through that. Was there this day that you woke up and you said, oh, my God, you know, I've outlived my dad? And
well, I knew the day was coming. My father died in December of 1988, at a relatively young age of 63. So as I approached and then passed my 63rd birthday, it hit me before I got to my 63rd birthday. And that was a couple of years ago, too. But so, you know, this idea of outliving your parents is a kind of powerful one, at least to me it was. And I kind of, the whole album is about, you know, dealing a bit with mortality and death and decay, my favorite topic. Hi, folks. It's Loudon Wainwright. Hey, you're listening to Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
Well, it is kind of, I mean, if you think about it, everybody thought back when Bob Dylan did Time Out of Mind, that was his death album, his mortality album, and he was having some medical issues at the time, and we all thought, oh my God, is this it? And then it's been 15 years later, he's released 4 more albums with probably many more to come. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're looking in the mirror and with a 6-month prognosis. I mean, have you moved on to other things?
Yeah, I'm writing other songs and you know, continuing. With any luck, I'll put out some more albums, or at least another album.
At least one more, certainly. Here's, I guess, the question, since all throughout your career, a lot of your songs are autobiographical and personal, is it too easy to say that it's cathartic to do that? Does it actually help? Does it actually make you feel better? Or you do it, but the problems and the pain and whatever is still there?
I don't think it's therapeutic or cathartic. I mean, it's cathartic for me to perform, to sing the songs for people, and hopefully it's, you know, they get something out of it, some kind of release or catharsis. But in terms of does it solve my, you know, neuroses or you know, I don't think it does. In fact, it could be argued that it exacerbates things. But it also solves another problem for me, which is, you know, it's my job. It's what I do for a living, writing songs and then taking them out and singing for people. So, and it's a job that I like and appreciate, so I'm happy to have it.
Yeah, I mean, and you never know sort of the effect that the songs will be on those 100 or 300 or 500 people or 1,000 people that you're singing
for. Sometimes you find out. I mean, people at the end of my shows, you know, quite often I'll set up a little table and sell people my CD and meet them and say hello. And people do say that, you know, certain songs have had some kind of an effect on them or amused them or helped them in some little way. So it's nice to know that some of it's sticking to the proverbial wall.
Yeah, I mean, even little things. I remember seeing you at the Bottom Line probably, good Lord, 20 years. The Bottom Line doesn't exist anymore. It was a club in Manhattan, for people who don't know. But I remember seeing you there, and you were singing the song Westchester County, which I had not heard yet on album. And you mentioned You Lit Long Island. And yeah, I jumped out of my skin because I'd been living there for 30 years. And nobody, I mean, people write songs about Los Angeles, and they mention New York and maybe Chicago. But to hear You Lit Long Island in a song, you know, I don't think I jumped out of my chair, but I was like, oh my God, you know, had that little recognition moment, which I thought I'd just tell you that. I don't know why. Just wanted to share that with you. We're talking with Loudon Wainwright III, and we're talking about his songs and his autobiographical songs and the way that you do stuff. You've also done, and these are kind of fun, topical numbers. You did a whole album, as a matter of fact, very good one, of songs that were more about issues in the news and stuff. Are those kind of easier to write or just as difficult?
They're not easier, but they're not. I mean, I don't think of writing songs as being difficult in general. I mean, it's a process, and it when it's going properly, it goes fine. It's not it's not hard for me to write songs. The topical songs, social commentary songs. I've been writing those for over 40 years and continue to do so. And they're not really any different from the more personal material. They're songs designed to you know, affect an audience. And so I just think of they're all just a bunch of songs to me. Some of them are novelty songs. Some of them are really serious songs about family issues. Others are topical songs. They're just songs, though, really.
Yeah.
All fruit, so to speak.
I mean, Tom Paxton, who was on my show a few years ago, he calls them short shelf life songs, the ones that he does very often in concert. And I think that's kind of a misnomer because they last in some ways as long. If the crux of the theme of what you're trying to say in the song is relevant, it doesn't matter if the particular issue that you're pointing to in the newspapers is no longer current. You know, a song's a song and it can last for a whole bunch of different reasons. Or at least my personal thought about that. Can I ask if people, again, if they weren't alive back when I was, and listening to Dead Skunk on Dr. Demento and some of your early albums. Did having your music on the soundtrack for Knocked Up and that wonderful album that you did, Strange Weirdos, did that kind of do for you and the public what, say, Something About Mary did for Jonathan Richman? Did it put you back up in a certain way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was a fun experience to work on that. It was a big movie, Knocked Up. I also had a little acting role in the movie. And the music was done by myself and my friend Joe Henry, who's a great producer and songwriter himself in Los Angeles. So the whole experience was fun. I don't know if it put me on the map any more than I already am, but the song, interestingly enough, the song that most people remember from that album and that movie is the song that's at the end, the song called Daughter.
Right.
Which, and people are always asking me to do that song, and it's, funnily enough, I didn't write it. A friend of mine called Peter Blegvad wrote it. I recorded it, but, so that was the big big news on Knocked Up, is that the big song was the song I didn't write.
Oh well, sorry. I mean, it's a terrific song, and it's you know, you read the commentary about it on YouTube, and people are, it's the song people are putting in weddings now when fathers are giving their daughters away. There's that's the song, you know, it makes me cry and stuff. So sorry, I'm kind of sorry you didn't write it, but I guess we both get royalties.
Me too. But I might as well admit I didn't write it, and I'm very pleased that my friend Peter Blegvad, who is a wonderful songwriter that not enough people know about, made some money on that, and people should definitely go check out his other work, because he's gotten lots of great songs.
Cast, moving all the way back, but still in the autobiographical mode, I never realized that one of the songs on Attempted Mustache that was called Liza was actually about Liza Minnelli, with whom you went to school?
That's right. I was in grammar school. This is years and years ago in Los Angeles. Our family lived out there in the early and mid-50s, and I went to a school called Warner Avenue School, which is in Westwood, the suburb of Los Angeles, where UCLA is. And in my class, in the second and third grade, was Liza Minnelli. I knew who she was. I certainly knew who her mother was, because I had seen, like most everybody else, The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And I went over to her house and had what I guess are now called play dates, and actually met and saw her mother on a couple of occasions.
Good Lord. Did they seem normal in the home context?
Pretty normal. I mean, you know, we were 7 and 8 years
old. Yeah, okay.
I don't, you know, everything is... I was excited to meet her mother because, again, she was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
But, yeah, that's true. I did hang out with Liza all those many, many years ago, well over 50, more like 60 years
ago. Years ago. And there's that weird connection, because I think your father had gone to see her in one of her famous concerts, and then your son ended up doing her Carnegie Hall concert too.
The Judy Garland Carnegie Hall concert.
Yeah, yeah. So there's this weird Garland-esque, Minnelli-esque connection running through the whole stream of your family. How interesting, I guess. And even more kind of oddly interesting, another thing I picked up either from Wiki or somewhere else, was that at one point, you were going to a psychiatrist, maybe you still are, but at one time it was your dad's shrink. Was that odd in some ways?
Yeah, I did sell my father's my father's shrink at some point. It was basically to get a letter to get out of the army.
Oh, good for you. It was nice of him to let you do that. Were you a full-fledged kind of hippie, or too post-cynical for that?
No, I was just San Francisco in the Summer of Love, and had a good time that summer, and had fun, and grew my hair, and got busted for pot, and, you know.
And I think, did they make you cut your hair, or it was sort of...
Yes, they did. I wrote a song about it called Samson and the Warden. I was in prison. I was in in a jail in Oklahoma City for 5 days for possession of marijuana and received a haircut.
Hmm. Were you abused in any other way, or was it, you know, just
born? Unfortunately, I wasn't. My father bailed me out just in time, I'd say, because it was, you know, I was 22 and very cute.
Well, yeah, well, and then you grew your hair back with a vengeance, and you had that for several years. We're talking, by the way, to Loudon Wainwright III. He's going to be in Denver at the Denver Center this Saturday, the 19th, at the L.A. Calkins Opera House. Also, I should mention Leo Kottke is on the bill.
Definitely Leo mentioned Leo Kottke.
So I just did. And, by the way, for our New York listeners, Mr. Wainwright will be at Zankel Hall, in the one and only aforementioned Carnegie Hall. That is next Saturday, January 26th. I'm wondering, since that, you know, as you mentioned, a good chunk of what you do as a career for a profession is touring, has it gotten harder as it gets older? Is it a drag, or is it still the most fun thing you do?
Well, the traveling is not fun. It is a drag, but you know, it's still fun to get there and go out on stage for 75 minutes and sing songs and you know, entertain people. That is something that I've always loved and continue to love. But dragging my butt through the airport is you know,
right,
hasn't been fun in years.
Hey, Loudon Wainwright, let's talk about sex. If you don't mind for a moment, because that is also a theme that runs through your new album, Older Than My Old Man Now. There's a very funny duet that you have with... Well, first of all, how on earth did you connect with Dame Edna?
Well, Dame Edna, also known in real life as the wonderful Australian...
comedian Barry Humphries.
Icon, yeah. An actor and writer and painter and great guy. His real name is Barry Humphries.
Mm-hmm.
Created the character of Dame Edna Everidge, and we met on an acting job. We were both we played love interests in a couple of episodes of Ally McBeal some years ago. Now it's probably 10 years ago, and I was a huge fan of Barry's work, and still am, and you know. Played in some of my songs, one of which was this song that I had written called I Remember Sex. And then when it came time to make this record, Older Than My Old Man, which includes that song, I got in touch with him and asked him if he would duet with me on the record, which he agreed to do, and it's a thrill. The record has a lot of duets. There's a duet with Ramblin' Jack Elliott, who was one of my big idols, and a contemporary of mine called... Chris Smither.
Oh, yeah. He was on the show a few years ago, too, yeah.
My son Rufus and I sing a song together. In fact, all my kids are on the record. So, but the Barry Humphries, Dame Edna thing was very magical.
Oh, Loudon, what memories.
How true is that? I mean, you are married for a third time, so I assume you're getting some. Well, that's the thing. I mean, yes, the cliche is as you get older, blah, blah, you're not that interested, or physically, blah, 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 or, you know, or are there still temptations of being on the road a lot? I mean, is there an understanding that you have with your third wife that you certainly didn't have maybe with Kate McGarrigle? I mean, how does that...
Understanding is the same with all the wives, which is don't you dare do that.
Oh. Okay, but on this third one, have you listened? Is it, you know, are you a good boy, as it were?
Dave, you're getting a little personal now.
Well, so is your album. That's I won't go anywhere where you don't want to go, but your songs go there, and your album is kind of going there, so it's a natural question to ask.
Well, you could just play the songs. How about that?
Okay, fair enough. But then that also brings back to the questions of answering your family all those years with your songs, you know, which, as you said earlier, was sometimes good and sometimes bad, of the fact that you were communicating with your kids and sometimes with your wives in music, which was fine.
When did I say that? Not in this interview.
No, well, maybe not. Well, some of the other stuff that you've read, or I've read about you. There was a big piece in Vanity Fair.
Oh, you've been on the web. Have you, Dave?
Vanity Fair, Vanity Fair, indeed.
Yes,
very long
yes,
piece. Yes.
You're doing your research. Right?
Doing the math. Yes, I am. So
let's just talk about now in the here and the now.
Well, okay. I sort of was. I was kind of asking. You are married. You're raising a young person. How's it feel to still be a dad, even at this stage of your life, as opposed to having kids old and grown?
Well, my youngest daughter is a sophomore in college, and so actually it's me and my wife and our dog now.
Oh, cool. So
the lead pipe Sitch.
Wait, that's the name of the dog? I missed that. The lead pipe Sitch?
You've never heard that expression before?
Oh, no, I have not. What does it mean?
Look it up on the web, Dave.
That's fair. Well, let me ask, do you feel like a mellower, nicer person than you used to be?
No, I'm much more cranky and unpleasant than I used to be.
Now, are you joking, or do you really feel that? Or in the middle?
No, I feel that. I feel that. In fact, well, we're going to have to stop soon.
Sure.
We're getting so cranky.
Oh, yeah, I know. You only have a couple minutes left, but I do want to... Let's see. Let me roll through the bunch of these questions that I asked. How much acting are you doing and continuing to do? Because that's become more and more of your itinerary for the past 10 years or so as well.
Occasionally I get an acting job, which is fun, you know. I am in a movie called Sleepwalk With Me, which is out now. And
that's Mike Birbiglia, right? Yeah.
What?
That's the Mike Birbiglia.
That's right.
Okay.
And I did an episode of Person of Interest, played a sheriff from Texas about a month ago. So, you know, I'm out and about.
And I guess our last question, because I can feel you itching to hang up the phone, so I will ask one last question to Loudon Wainwright III. And again, it's about the songwriting and telling your life story in 3 or 4 minute bits, but you've until now resisted the urge to write an autobiography, as had Dylan, as had Neil Young, and some other folks. Now they're reneging on that and very happily writing their life stories. Do you see that happening?
I don't know. I don't really see a need for that. I mean, I'm just focusing on the songs.
Cool. Well, it's been a pleasure focusing on your music and your life and the songs of Loudon Wainwright III. Everybody make sure to see him tonight at the Denver Center with Leo Kottke, also, of course, on the bill, and then next Saturday at Carnegie Hall on January 26th. Mr. Wainwright, it really, you know, I'm sorry if I pushed a few envelopes that you didn't really want to open up, but it has been really nice to talk to you and very glad to have you in the neighborhood.
All right. Good talking to you, Dave.